today, tuning in today, and so I want to say that we have changed cameras. Brother Dave Barnes and his beautiful wife, they came up here yesterday, and I guess they donated. He ain't sent me a bill yet. A professional camera, and he took time and he got with Trish and they set it all up, and so this is your trial experience with it. So this morning we're going to have Brother Scott Burns come up, functioning without his wife here today, only half here, but anyway, brother, come on up.
Bronze sunglasses.
Light me up, baby.
There's your noggin. You gotta use it now. Excuse me right there. You probably will.
I know. I'm all done. I'm playing with all the
Good morning, everybody. How is all doing today? That's all you got to say?
I'm waking up, baby. Waking
I know you
up.
Got something
right.
to say.
I'm ready.
That's not true. I can't get enough of you. Anyways, as Byron said, my better half is on the road right now. She's on her way back from Tennessee. You'll notice because there's not a good selection of food back there. Not that that's why I miss her, but... Awesome. I'm glad somebody is covering Sylvia not being here. But she had just texted that they had hit the road, I guess, 30 minutes ago. So. Oh, no. I missed her all weekend. It's just weird in the house. Well, Sylvia's, of course. All right, just real quick, can everybody hear me okay? Nice. About right. Make sure my ears in there is not pointing out like that. Well, last week we started out on Romans 8 and 28. So that's still kind of the source scripture, 8:28 and 8:29. And it is really interesting, you know, when you, I don't know if anybody else does this, but before you get up here, you pray about it. Ask for a little help, a little guidance.
Amen, brother.
So I have heard Romans 8:28 probably 20, 30 times this week. I don't know if anybody else has. You know, taught right, taught wrong, all kinds of things. But nevertheless, I kept hearing Romans 8:28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I didn't say everything's going to turn out good. But ultimately, everything that happens, whether it's good, it's bad, it's ugly, it's going to turn out for the good of those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. So it's not just about loving God. It's all about being called according to his purpose. So are you called according to his purpose? You're saved. Well, how do you get saved? Well, that's not going to do it. As good as what the teaching is in here, that will not get you there. But what will get you there is that he died or was crucified for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected on the third day. As we find out later, when you believe and trust that gospel, you are justified. So it's not just that he paid for your sins, but once you believe that, that justification means now you don't have any sin. Now you never had any sin. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again, God the Father looks down and looks at you, and if you believe this, you're going to heaven. Why? Because he doesn't see any sin in you. All he sees is his son, Jesus Christ, who cannot sin, who made the full payment, the full propitiation Yes.
I think there was a purpose for him to be with us and all that thing. You know, you could see the gospel word.
There was a purpose, and the purpose was there wasn't a single person that's ever lived or ever will live on this face of this earth that was absolutely perfect, that could be a perfect sacrifice. And since everybody has Adamic blood in their body, there's not a thing anybody can do other than trust the perfect one that came and made the ultimate payment for everybody. We can't do a single thing, because when we add one single thing or take one single thing away from that, we're not saved. Because our works, our righteousness, as Isaiah says, are like filthy rags. That's right. Yeah, you got to trust it. You got to have faith in Jesus Christ's faith that took us to, or is going to take us to heaven. The faith in his faith, actually went to the cross. Remember when he was out there in the garden and he was praying that this cup could be taken away from him? Three times he asked for that cup to be taken away. Finally he said, not my will, but your will. Or your will and not my will. And he was talking about the Father, of course, who he was praying to. Now remember, fully man, fully God. The God side of him knew exactly what was going on. But the man side had to get ready to be tortured for all the sins of all time. I just wanted to kind of encapsulate what we're going to get started on, and I was going to do a little prayer, not that I got started, but... Well, the title is, Do You Really Believe That All Things Work Together for the Good of Them? Just take the beginning of Romans 8:28, and are you called? Just Romans 8:28 will be the title of this. Fair enough? A little prayer. God, we love you. We love you, Abba, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. And we just thank you so much for all that you do for us. We thank you for that grace that has already saved us. And Jesus, we thank you that you paid for that grace when you died on the cross for our sins. You were buried and resurrected on the third day. And now those of us that believe and trust that have been justified through that resurrection on the third day. We praise your name, and I just ask that everything that's said here would be accurate. Maybe it would help somebody that's not saved out there, and that if everybody's saved that's listening, that's awesome. We just help to edify others on their walk. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so we covered Romans 8:28. I'm going to go into 29 as well, since you're on that page. For whom he, that being God, did foreknow, that's via your free will choice, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. You believe you're in Jesus Christ's image? Well, when God the Father looks down here, he looks at you and he thinks you're in the image of his Son. No, I'm sorry, he doesn't think, he knows. If you've trusted the gospel, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So how does God foreknow us? Well, we just talked about it in 29. He has to see that when you were down here, at some point you were going to accept the gospel of the grace of God. And if he has, he knows he has foreknown you. So to be part of that, to be foreknown, he would have had to know during your earthly time here, you would have had to accept that, trust that, and have faith in that. I think we're all good with that, right? Okay, let's skip forward here. We're going to go to Romans 8:30-32, so you don't have to move too far. We're going to continue on with this. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now, that bothers a lot of folks, because they'll go, are there some people that are predestinated out there? Absolutely. Why? Because Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, foreknew that they would make a choice for Jesus Christ, and they would trust that he died for their sins, and he was buried, and he was resurrected on the third day, and those that believe that are justified. That's how you get predestinated. It's not a Calvinism thing, it's a Noahism thing. Jesus Christ is not limited by time. He sees everything from eternity past to eternity future. He sees everything all at the exact same time. I know that's hard to wrap our heads around because we're under time, but that's just the way he designed it for us. He is not under time because all things consist in him. I have put the movie thing out there. A lot of people say he's seen the movie, but it's more than a movie to him. He sees everything and every possible choice you have made in your life to know if you're going to accept him or not accept his finished work. Millions and billions of people going through all this. Not to mention, the little jobs, creating the heaven and the earth, as we know now it's heavens, and maintaining things so they don't bang at each other. He's got a lot going on. But he knows everything. Every single thing. You've heard it before. Every strand of hair on your head. Some of us have more than others, right? I wasn't going to mention your name. But you make it look good. Back to 30. Them he also called, and whom he called, them he justified. He's going to back that up with some more justification. How about that? And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now that glorification thing, of course, is going to be the rapture. It hasn't happened yet, but if you trust the gospel, it will happen. Guaranteed. 100%. It's not a hope so, it's a no so. I can't remember. It was either Wednesday or Thursday. This person comes to the door, ding, 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 and I look and I go, "Hun, can you take care of that?" And she said, "I cannot believe it. There's a big no soliciting sign on there. I want you to go out there and tell him, did he not see that solicitation sign? Blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Hun, can..." No, she wasn't going to go out there, but she wanted me to go deliver the bad news to this person about not being a solicitor. I love her. Love her. And she's right, I said, heck with it. I went, and I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "Hi, hey," and he said, "You having a blessed day," or something to that effect. And it was just enough, and I went, got my Bible, got a couple of tracts, went out and chatted to Josh, that was his name, just a young guy. And they're handing out estimates on what it would take to put solar panels up again. So we've seen this before. This is like the third company that's coming through there, and he's asking for bills. I said, "Hun, would you mind, grabbing the last three or four bills so I can show him what we've done?" "I'm not going to show him our bills." I'm like, "Wow." Okay. And of course, Josh is asking for the bills because I'm trying to prove that, we're burning like 3 kilowatts less a day than what we were last year. So our bills have not gone up with the Florida Power and Light. If anything, they've actually gone down because we put some devices in our house. But anyway, you can ask about that later time. Point is, I came up to him, and he's probably thinking, this guy's strange. He's got his Bible. He's marching out towards me. And I said, "So, Josh, you going to heaven? What do you think so?" He said, "I hope so." I said, "But it's not a hope so. It's a no so. Would you like to know how to... no so instead of hope so?" Not many people say no to that, by the way. Particularly when they're trying to sell you something, you've got them captive at the door. Well, I knew I couldn't invite him in because Sylvie had told me about the solicitation sign. So we sat out there and we had a little chat and explained to him how simple it was. And he really didn't know the Bible real well. Left him a track. I laid down a few things for him and I said, just take a look at those tracks and take a look and see how simple it is. You may not accept it today, but you heard it. You've heard the gospel and it's been shared to you. And now you understand that, this isn't a Old Testament thing. This isn't an earthly Jesus thing. This isn't a Peter thing. And this isn't a revelation thing. This is a revelation of the mystery. And I showed him where Paul was our apostle today and off he went. And I don't know what got me down that particular road, but it talked to, those whom he justified, them he also glorified. So there's people walking around that believe they're going to be saved and go to heaven and even talk about the rapture and some of these other things, but they're really not gone. If you can't articulate just how easy it is to go to heaven, you probably don't know what it is. There may be a small 1% or so that have problems, you know, speaking in front of crowds or something like that. But if you can't describe what it takes to go to heaven, how do you know you're going to heaven? And I know what he said because it's what I used to say. Did anybody ever use this one? Oh, my religion is a personal thing. I keep it to myself. It's very personal. What I was not saved. That was the problem, but I just didn't know it until I knew it. And once I knew it, now I am saved, and I can look back and hopefully use that to help others. Byron, I see your hand moving. Something important? Just quick draw, index McGraw. 31. What shall we then say to those things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You ever think about that? If he's for us, what down here can prevent us from being saved? Now, the whole point of this is, do you believe all things are working towards the good of us because we love God and are called according to his purpose? 32. He that spared not his own son, and that would be the very best that God had to give. Could you imagine? This is probably more applicable to moms in the house. And by the way, happy Mommy's Day to those that have had kids, and happy Mommy Day to your moms. For those who didn't have moms, have kids, I guess. Did I say that appropriate? But happy Mommy's Day. But this means more, it seems, to moms. Would you be willing to give away, if you had one son, to go save the world? Now, I'm going to answer for Sylvia, since she isn't here. She said, that ain't going to happen. That's what Sylvia would tell you. Anybody else? That's a hard choice. God did it. He gave his very best. Because he knew only his very best could come down here and take care of the issue. Because there wasn't even one of us that could stand up and do it on our own. Because if there was, Jesus Christ didn't need to come. Thank God for Jesus Christ. But delivered him, Jesus, up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And it is a free gift. You can't work for it. Anybody here tried working for it? Anybody enjoy working while you were doing it? This flesh just loves working for stuff. Oh, I'm just making my way to heaven. Here's a towel, you know, let me shake a hand. Here's some more money. And while I'm out there, I'm trying to speak in tongues and all that other stuff. I didn't know. But well, they're still in the earthly Jesus Christ time. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Yep. And you know the answer's been in this book the whole time. It's been here for about 2,000 years or so. It's been in this collection of books called the Bible. Well, it's interesting. You said if you roll over to Galatians 1, sidetrack slightly, but the very book says it, Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Now remember, Paul had gone through and had told the Galatians and preached the Galatians what it took to be saved. And he comes back in this writing. He says, I marvel, you Galatians, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. Hey, you know, if you just all would get circumcised and follow the law of Moses, we believe what Paul was teaching. Wrong. But there were folks saying that. 8. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Ouch. That doesn't sound like a good word to me, that accursed thing. Would you like to be accursed? I wouldn't. Let's see if he says it again. And I think he does. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Whew. I don't want to be in that line. I don't think it's just going to be a finger waving thing. I think it's going to be hot wherever they're going. I'm just saying. Now, there could be some people that are saved that are teaching the wrong thing. Now, how that accursed thing looks, it still doesn't look good to me. So I try... Very good. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. It talks about that. So, go ahead, Dave.
I think if people are saved, it's impossible to teach the wrong thing as far as the gospel goes. The truth is saved by the gospel.
Absolutely. And I find once you know what it is and you trust it, you want to hear it, and you want to hear it often. And the people who don't want to hear it often are the people that haven't believed it or trusted it. And they actually may love God. And I think I was one of them at one time. Go ahead, Daniel. Absolutely. If you can't remember what it says exactly, if you can pull it out and recite that, that's perfect. Particularly when you're showing people the gospel. Because if you know the gospel and you run across somebody that doesn't know the gospel and you have an opportunity, maybe you don't know everything, but you know that gospel, that's all he's really asking us to get out there initially. Because in 1 Timothy 2:4 it says that God would like all men to be saved, right? Not just some of the men. Now, that's not going to happen. I'm just telling you, that's the first thing. The second step is, you know, edification. You know. Absolutely. Even people we don't like. That's hard to understand, because before that I didn't want... Oh. Well. In my beginning of walking in the truth, I probably was close to where you were at. It'll come with time. Because ultimately, it doesn't matter who they are when they get up there. There will be no boasting in heaven. Not a single person will be boasting how they got there. Because we did nothing. If anybody thinks they did something, they're not going to be there. So everybody that's up there will not be boasting. They'll just be so thankful that they're up there and that Jesus Christ did everything. So, for the sake of time, you can read verses 33 through 39 because they're awesome. It's a good thing to read. Let's move over to 2 Timothy 3:12-14. Now remember, when we talked about Romans 8:28, all things. So it could be good. It could be bad. It could be ugly. 2 Timothy 3:12, probably going to go through 14. It says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Woohoo! Wait a minute, I don't like that. Unfortunately, you're going to bump into people that are not going to like what you got to say. So maybe they're going to poo-poo on your parade. You know, who knows how it's going to manifest? Maybe you won't get a particular job. Who knows? But ultimately... Romans 8:28 says that even if something comes like persecution, it will ultimately work out for your good in the end. Maybe it helps you to be a little bit more bolder when you're sharing the gospel with somebody. I don't know. And things manifest. You know, we could have lost a loved one, a child, all kinds of things, a car wreck. As I started out last week, you know, our our dog of 13 years, you know, all those kinds of things. We all have some things, some yuck that's going on in our life that we would prefer not happen. But these things happen down here because we're living in a fallen world. But God still says it all works for our good. Yeah, 13, a little bit more bad. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We see this every day. Unless you're blind, you'd be hearing it anyways. 14, but continue, and he's talking to Timothy, and now these words are for us. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. The doctrine that Paul teaches sitting in Rome through Philemon are all the things that he's talking about there that are for us today. They're all sitting there. You know, we read those. Those things are now to us so that we can share them with others and help us to grow and help us to deal with unbelievers and whatnot. Don't need a turner. We kind of talked about this 1 Timothy 2 and 4, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of truth. The first step is you got to be saved. I think we've heard that enough, right? Anybody not know this? He died for your sins. He died for my sins. He was buried for me. He was resurrected for me. And I'm now justified by his resurrection. And you are as well if you've trusted that. Does that mean you got to run out and do a bunch of other stuff and jump in a baptismal? Where is Jim today? I'm missing... Is Jim all right? Okay. Maybe you'd come for the second service. He knew mine would be boring and yours would be great. So moving along. We love you, Jim. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 20 to 21. Most of these are very familiar. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 and 21. So how do we do this? I like these two verses, and they're very informative. It says, now that we, that being the saints, the body of Christ, Paul always talks to believers. To believers are ambassadors for Christ. I like to say believing ambassadors in an unbelieving world. We're like an ambassador got sent to another country, and you don't know their language. Our language is truth of what it takes to be saved. Theirs is untruth because they don't know what it is to be saved. And we're there representing saints. Kind of neat. As though God did beseech you by us. Us there, he's talking about Paul and Timothy and Silas and Barnabas and those guys. We pray you in Christ's stead be ye reconciled to God. Now, who asked that question? Mary Lou had asked that question, right, about reconciled last week? Oh, somebody did. It was Carol that asked that. You guys are kind of in the same area. If you have a pie area, it's kind of in that vector right there. And reconciliation is, you know, when Adam was created, he had perfect connection with the Lord. They used to walk in the cool of the afternoon. They were one. Well, as soon as he partook of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, that was broken. It had to be that way, though. And nothing surprises Jesus. Nothing surprises the Lord. He knew that this would happen and that ultimately he'd have to come and be the one that offered the fix action for the thing that was broke back there. But reconciliation is what Adam had. When he got kicked out of the garden, reconciliation was what he didn't have anymore for a period of time. He did give them skins to kind of cover that initial issue, but that straight up reconciliation Adam didn't have. They still had to go through works to continue. There had to be faith in Jesus. There had to be sacrifices every time something was done. Reconciliation is what you received the very moment you trusted that gospel. I know you don't feel it sometimes, but the moment you trust that, you are reconciliated. It is a done deal, and you're guaranteed that there's going to be glorification as the time comes for the rapture, or if you happen to pass away, which I could do right now, but the good book says a little bit earlier in that particular chapter, it says absent from the body is present with the Lord. That's a pretty good assurance, isn't it? I like that. I think the verse before it says we walk by faith and not by sight. Sounds like verse 7 and 8 of that same chapter. Maybe we'll even cover that today if we have some time. 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. And he did become sin. He took on the sin of the entire world, past, present, future, people that haven't even been born yet. He has paid 100% of all the sin that's out there. Every single bit of it has been paid for. But that's not enough. You got to accept it. You got to trust it. You got to have faith in that. His faith. Fair enough? Yeah, people are kind of quiet in here. Who knew no... Well, it would only take one sin to... Well, he actually paid for all sin. Then it becomes a... It's done. It is. Yep. And how simple that is once you get that figured out. You just want to run out and tell everybody what it is.
Giant bank account and never drawing off of it. We have a sin account that's all paid for. All you have to do is draw it. You draw it by going to that.
You say, that gift is mine. The wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and 23. Continue on with 21, that we might, that's a free will choice, be made the righteousness of God in him. And Byron says this all the time. It's not that we just have the Holy Spirit dwell in us and we have Christ in us. We also have God's righteousness in us. Hard to believe. And we're still walking around saying and doing the things we do. Now, I didn't say and do a lot of it today because Sylvia wasn't here. I didn't have anybody other than Daisy to go, it'll be all right. You know, Mom will be home soon, you know. Daisy's our other dog, or our dog, I should say. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Daniel, this is going to go back to something you said last week. Go ahead, Dave. Absolutely. And five is gonna be a couple of great verses, and then it's gonna get into, we're getting hammered a little bit, and then we're gonna follow it up with 2 Corinthians chapter 1, which will go to what you were just saying. Romans 5:1, we're gonna do through verse 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, thank you, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now that last little bit there is going to be the rapture, the glory of which we are going to wear. You're looking forward to the Gloria being in glory? It almost sounds like a song. Glory, glory. 3. Okay, we're going downhill a little bit here. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Not the big trib, not the 7-year bit. We're going to have tribulations down here?
It's hard.
Going to go through some lows, maybe go through some highs. Yes, there's going to be some tribulation. Even as believers, we're going to go through some bad things. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Daniel, like I said, this was what we talked about last week, but I didn't get to this point. So here we are. So the book says you're going to live it. I'm going to live it. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You believe you have the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
You mean you're sealed with Him and He's also dwelling inside of you? That's a fact if you've trusted this simple, simple, simple thing to trust. Now Jesus shared, let's go over to John 16, 33. Now Jesus shared this with His apostles, and this is for Israel, but the second portion of this is applicable to us too. Byron calls it what? Trans-dispensational. I call it cross-dispensational. There are things that are in here. Paul never writes and says, hey, ignore the rest of the book. He didn't say that. He says, all Scripture is good for doctrine. All. So John is saying Jesus is saying, He said, these things I have spoken unto you. Now He's speaking specifically to the 12. John 16:33. I apologize. I probably didn't say that. And since the video and the audio is so clear, we can go back to the legal recorder and find out. Because it's that good. All right. These things I have spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Not the big one. Now, He could have meant that as well, but they were going to have some tribulation as well. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 2, verses 6 through 8. Real quick, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8. I'm only covering this because this is the mystery period. No confusion here. We are in the revelation of the mystery period. 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Are you perfect in God's eyes?
Amen.
Are you perfect in His mind because of what you do down here on the earth? The answer is no. But it's when you started to trust what Jesus Christ did for you, you became perfect with God. Perfect. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I'm going to get to 8. So all this was done long before there was a me or you or the earth. All this was put into action, kept hidden in the mind of God, and waiting for the right time. And we're living during that specific time. 8, which none of the princes, or let's say Satan, of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And if that didn't happen, we'd have a sin problem. Houston, we have a sin problem. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians verse 1. We're going to look at 3 and 4. This is going to kind of encapsulate, you know, when you go through some things, you know, there's some reasons why we're going through those things. And here's one of the ways that it works for the good of all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. For who comfort us in all our tribulation. Have you ever gone through something and thought you couldn't get to the end, but in the end you got through it, and everything seemed to work out really good? And when you look back at it, it's not as bad as it was when you were in it. And like us normal men, we wait till the end to pray instead of praying early. I'm trying to change that. But it goes on, it says, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Have you ever helped somebody else out? Have you shared a testimony with them about something you went through? Maybe they're going through it for the first time, and you're able to express that to them and maybe soften the blow a little bit and say, it's not about me, it's about, you know, what Jesus did for me. So it's one of those things that He works all things. So the bad thing that happened to you, you were comforted by God, then you ultimately are able to help somebody else along the way with what you went through. Maybe it's very similar, and help soften the blow for them. And then that person, maybe they go through the next thing and they share something with somebody that's going on. You see how that works? I'm not limiting this. This is just one example of how I can see that He works all things for the good of them that love Him and who are called according to His purpose. Let's go over to John 9 and 31. I've got about probably 4 minutes left here. Probably three. I don't want to see the 1 minute marker, though. You know where she's pointing that index finger? Byron, I know where your brain was going. Shame on you. Oh, we're just having fun. John 9 and 31. And we've talked about this, but maybe we don't talk about this specific verse. Again, this is cross-dispensational. It says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But I sin down here. Well, let's listen to the rest of it. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, and what's one of His will? First, that we be saved, right? Him He heareth. You don't know how valuable your prayer is. There's not many people down here that are really saved. Your prayer goes a long, long way. And yeah, it's not about touching and healing people. It's just giving it to God, praying about it, and letting Him work it. It could be a yes, it could be a no, it could be maybe. But He's at least, He's listening to your prayer because you're a true believer. You're a saint. You're a member of the body of Christ. And there's not a lot of us. I wish there were more. You need to work on that. I want at least one more by the end of the week.
Go, Bob. Me too. I'm one of
them. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. Prayer. How do we pray today? Well, that is one way. That's prayer. Absolutely. Well, I think the best laid out way to pray is sitting in Philippians 4, 6 through 8. It's not the only one. I'm just saying, if you're looking for something, if you're going through a mess, and you just, well, first you could say, hey, Holy Spirit, just take care of it for me. We can do that. That's sitting in Romans 8 and 26, 27. But Philippians 4, 6 through 8 says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Are there some times we go through some stuff that's hard not to be anxious? She's going to give me her wristwatch at the end of this. You see that? She said, you get to have that. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, talking to God, and supplication, making your request with thanksgiving. Do we go back and say thanks, God? It is important to go back and thank Him for those things He's done. Sometimes it's the things He didn't do that I'm grateful that He didn't allow me to do or have. You know, maybe I could have been married to somebody different. I am so grateful I'm married to, well, she's using her invisible technique right now, but I am so grateful that that happened. Because there's some other people that I saw along the way that could have happened with, and it would not have been good. But I didn't see it at the time because I was in the middle of all of that. And I was unsaved, of course. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And now the next verse is important. Once you've given it to God, don't reel it back and say, I'll take care of it now. What does he tell us? Don't dwell on the negative. If you got something you're praying about, don't dwell on the negative. And he tells us in 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things... You see a trend here? None of that's negative. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Think, if you've given it to God, or Dave is waiting 3 days, and we'll see what's left of that mess. Giving it to God, think about the positive things that are going on in your life. Don't dwell on the negative. Stop the pity party. The party... All right, I'm going to read one more. I'm going to stop. I know I'm a little bit over time, so I'm not going to take it. I'm just going to read this out of 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. This is another way to pray, by the way. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplication for somebody else, prayers, talking to God, intercession, asking and requesting things, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Oh, I have to pray for that one guy. That guy is, it's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. For kings, listen to the promise though, if you're doing this. Here's a promise. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That takes me back to Romans 8 and 28. It says, all things work for our good. At the end of this will work for our good if we love God and are called according to his purpose. It will. Yeah. And I've already gone on my time. I thank you for your time. If anybody has any questions, do that.